It's time for the Horn High School Spotlight.
This is a great place. You can tell by the laminated high school football schedule on the wall.
With Texas High School Football Hall of Fame broadcaster, Craig Way.
We've got Texas High School football at its finest.
A complete look at high school football in the greater Austin, Central Texas area and across the state.
You don't know what you're going to get. This is high school sports.
The Horn High School Spotlight is brought to you by the Gina Rott Team at Keller Williams Realty. The Gina Rott Team, changing lives through real estate.
It's time to talk football.
Now, with the Horn High School Spotlight, here's Craig Way.
In British soccer broadcast parlance, they have a term for when you review things that have gone well or not well for a team. They call it the inquest, just as you would like for finding out what happened, like after a murder or something really, really bad. The inquest, they'd say, oh, you know, Man United lost. The inquest won't be good for this one. They'll do that. But there's some good inquest that can happen as well. With that, we welcome you to the Horn High School Spotlight. Good morning, everybody. Coming up on 3 minutes after 10 o'clock, my name is Craig Way. Glad to be with you up until 11 o'clock. And midday coming up at 11 with Trey and BK. So we'll get you up to there. Of course, what we do during this 1 hour is to get you caught up on everything that happened over the weekend in high school football all across the great state of Texas, but in specific, the Central Texas and Greater Austin area. That's where we zero in right here. Of course, this is where you hear the best total high school football coverage on our ABC Home and Commercial Services High School Football Radio Network on Friday nights, where we bring you the broadcast of the Lake Travis Cavaliers, the Bowie Bulldogs, the Vandegrift Vipers, and the most comprehensive updates and recaps of everything that's going on. So we do all of that on Mondays. We also take a look back at the statewide perspective. Greg Tepper, the managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, joins us coming up in a few minutes, as he always does on Mondays, to look back at it statewide. You may not have heard about some of the big things that happened. There were, as always, a few surprise results. You know, when you have counting private schools, when you have more than 1,600 schools playing football on any given Friday night, or at least into the course of a weekend, counting Thursday and Saturday games, you're going to have not just one or two. You're going to have a goodly number of surprise results every week. It's just kind of like you hear the guy say in the open, you know, this is, you don't know what you're going to get. It's high school sports. You're going to have some of that. It does happen every week. And so Tep is on top of that. Of course, he joins me and Rick Renner for High School Scoreboard Live every Friday night on Fox from 11 at night till 1 in the morning. So we're looking at all that stuff, and it's being really just basically just thrown at us. All but actually physically thrown out. They're running in with scripts at the last minute. Here you go, you got this. You know, so-and-so got upset tonight. Gilmer lost at Paris. It wasn't the other way around. It was originally reported on the AP. Gilmer lost 27-21. Stuff like that. And as I've always referred to that show, it's like election returns, because we're getting it on the fly. We're hearing about it on the fly. It's fun. It's live television for 2 hours, too. And then Tep does 3 hours prior to Fox Football Friday. So he's on for a solid 5 hours. So in the course of any given weekend, you'll have surprising results. Now, that British soccer term that I was referring to at the top, being the inquest, looking into the reasons, the postmortem, the autopsy, what happened, why things happened the way it did. And, you know, in the program that just preceded ours, you know, Bucky and Aaron, they talk about the good, the bad, the ugly that happened on a Monday. And I refer to a Monday in high school football world as, what did we learn over the weekend? What did we learn? What did we learn? Well, from the greater Austin and Central Texas area, here's what we learned. First of all, that while there are some really good 6A teams and vastly improved 6A teams in the area, and you can make that argument every year, teams that could, given the right playoff draw and some momentum, and if they've got everybody healthy when they get into the postseason – and get on a roll, that they could be difficult to stop. While that does, can, and probably will happen again right here in this area, the Blue Bloods are the Blue Bloods are the Blue Bloods. Lake Travis is Lake Travis, and Westlake is what Duke is Duke, as Pete Gillen would say. You have that. And let me give you another one that's in there that has played their way into that conversation and consideration now, getting to be closer than every year thing. Hendrickson. Same thing. And another team that might be knocking on the door of that would be Vandegrift. They would need to post some more skins on the wall as a 6A program before you have that. But going back to what Drew Sanders has built at that program, it's been very impressive. And they had a most impressive come-from-behind overtime win in their district opener over Cedar Ridge, 17-14. Soggy and wet and rainy there at Monroe Stadium, but they got it. And so they're off to a 1-0 start. And I said, Hendrickson is really, really good. Guess who plays this week? Vandegrift comes off beating, winning this emotion-charged overtime game, winning that one over Cedar Ridge. And who's next? Hendrickson at the field in Pflugerville this week. Wipe off the microphone there. So we learn more. We'll learn more. What else did we learn over the weekend? We learned that if you are a first-year varsity program, clearly you're going to take your lumps, but it doesn't mean you can't win and you can't win early. Maynard New Tech did it last week, and then last Friday, hey, the Glenn Grizzlies, the newest kid on the block in the Leander ISD, way up there going up 183. I mean, if you're standing like on their softball field, I think it is, I've been up there, or a baseball field, and with your back like this, you could turn around and throw a rock and you'd be in the Liberty Hill ISD. Okay, exaggerate a little, but not much. It's that close. It's really close. It is way up there at the far northwestern edge of the Leander ISD. But congratulations to the Glenn Grizzlies. They got their first ever win, and they beat McCallum to do it. So more on that coming up a little later on. In addition to Greg Tepper joining us from Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, we'll bring you our Whataburger top five performances of the weekend. There were some other ones to mention as well. The other thing I think we've learned is that somehow all of us as consumers of high school football in this area, and I noticed it across the state, especially in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex over the weekend as well, find a way to shrug off and throw off the shackles of precipitation, the rain. By the way, I think that's a band playing at ACL Fest, Shackles of Precipitation. Anyway, there, it really kind of hampered things. And it made it difficult for us to get a real good momentum feel because of the way the rain has really just pounded and pelted parts of the state of Texas, especially along the Gulf Coast, and then on up here into the greater Austin area, and on up into the Super Syntex and into the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. They haven't had that problem, clearly, in West Texas. They haven't had that. The other thing that we learned is that if you are in a district that is somewhat far-flung, meaning you have quite the road trip on the old yellow dog, if you're on the bus and you've got a long road trip, chances are it's not kind to you because the numbers show that those districts that have to reach out with tentacles to pull in teams to be in the same district, it usually means that the school that's way out in the outlying area is kind of like the last stronghold from that area, and they're going into playing schools in heavily populated areas where there's several schools in that district, and they're probably going to take their lumps. And I look at San Angelo Central, and I think they're going to be one of those. Cedar Park got its first win, and we had Carl Abseg on the TV show the other night, and I said, hey, now we can stop saying you're the best 0-2 5A team in the state. They got a win, and they were very, very effective and impressive in their win over a good San Angelo Central ball club, a team that would be far better had they had their starting quarterback. It's a shame what happened to Maverick McIver, the son of the former Longhorn quarterback, Rick McIver, who had the knee injury the week before in San Angelo Central's game. And they were definitely missing him. That said, Cedar Parks had to do without Ryan Fiala. And the Black Rain showed up and played pretty well in the rain. and their offense is getting its legs underneath them. Like we said, there's teams that you needn't worry about if you were worried about them, or at least puzzle over, but that they're going to be good. Cedar Park is one of those teams. Cedar Ridge is one of those teams, despite being 1-2 right now. Westlake, you know, that they had that fourth quarter collapse and the loss to Syrance. They came back and they blew out Aikens on Thursday night. The Westlake's going to be fine. I think Bowie's going to be fine, but again, Bowie ran into one of the best teams in the state. They're number two in the state in Lake Travis, and they might be playing about as well as anybody, Allen included, or Galena Park North Shore. They're good. So those are some of the things that we learned over the course of the weekend, at least especially with regard to teams in the greater Austin and Central Texas area. What about across the state? Well, coming up, we'll talk about that with Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. A look back at the weekend of high school football across the state of Texas here on the Horn High School Spotlight on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app at hornfm.com.
Welcome back to the Horn High School Spotlight, presented by the Gene Arant team at Keller Williams Realty. The Gene Arant team, changing lives through real estate.
10:18 here on the Horn High School Spotlight. On Mondays, we take the opportunity to visit with Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, and certainly you can go to texasfootball.com to read his outstanding work and subscribe to be an insider. That's a special privilege, isn't it, to be an insider, isn't it, Tep?
Yeah, that's probably why we named it that. It's probably good branding on someone's part. I was certainly not part of that decision, but yes, sign up. If anything, the whole idea is, I probably shouldn't be revealing our whole business model, but here we go. Basically, this is the way to get the magazine sent to you so you don't have to run around to HEB or Walmart when it comes out. You also get a year's worth of stuff on the site, like exclusive content. So basically, you're paying for the magazine in advance, and you get a bunch of bonus stuff too. So again, I've given away the game. That's the whole point of the subscription. But yeah, check it out.
Very, very, very nice. Of course, Greg joins Rick Renner and myself on Friday nights from 11 p. to 1 a. With High School Scoreboard Live. And anybody that's seen that program knows what an absolute irrepressible personality that Rick Renner has. You just can't keep a good man down. Unless, and he just texted me, Tep, I don't know if you got this, he is being forced to stay inside his house. There was a domestic situation with possibly even a hostage situation like across the street from his home. And so police are all over the area, and he's not allowed to leave his house. I thought that's the only way you can keep, Renner down because of...
I don't know how drama always finds Rick Renner, but it always just seems he's like a magnet. It always just seems to, find him. Like, a perfect example is, he has this beautiful son and his wife and everything's going great, and then they have twins. It's like, if that's not adding drama to your life, then I don't know what is. It seems to just gravitate towards him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we had plenty of drama over the weekend. I mentioned that high school football fans are, as you know, a hale and hearty group, and somehow they've kind of been able to navigate all of this, all this precipitation problem that we had, storms and rain and delays and people putting on ponchos and stuff like that and having to hide under the bleachers while 30-minute light. Have you heard? I've heard this phrase more than any other. Maybe it's because I've heard it with regard to high school football, and even it's been a little bit applied to the NFL, that, and here's the quote, "I've never seen as many delays or it happen as much as it's happened this year." Hey, have you heard that a bit?
Yeah, I've heard it a bit, and we're probably being a bit of a victim of the moment because we're also anxious for high school football to get underway and to get going, and because it happened so early. But I mean, I can remember that we how soon we forget some of the ice storms that we've dealt with in during the playoffs. And that is, those are the ones that really get you. I actually ran into last night. I ran into Dr. Charles Brightup, the executive director of the UIL, at the Cowboys game last night, and I was chatting with him, and you know, he talked about the weather and stuff like that, but we basically agreed, well, if it's going to happen, and you're going to have two consecutive weeks where there's just a lot of just weather and you know, precipitation and things and delays and cancellations, you want it to be now, because probably 90% of teams are not in district play right now, probably a little bit north of that, actually, but are not in district play. You don't have to finish these games. The coaches can just say, all right, well, shake hands. We'll see you guys next year. And you move on. As opposed to if this exact same situation were happening literally 2 weeks from now, like we're not talking far, far in the future, but 2 weeks from now, you would have a huge, huge issue where a lot of games getting moved to Saturday, and God forbid they can't happen on Saturday. Then you're talking about Monday, and then you're into the whole cycle that we ran into a couple of years ago with that massive ice storm. So for me, yes, it's annoying, but that's as far as I'll go. We've certainly had much more catastrophic situations where we were, you know, whether it be actual catastrophe like Hurricane Harvey, or, you know, high school football related catastrophe like playoff games having to be played on a Monday.
Right. And this was something we were talking about the other night, that when you have that happen, some of the stuff that's happened over the past couple of weeks, but if you have that 2 weeks from now, then you're having games at the very least postponed till Saturday, like we said, and or possibly postponed to Monday. Then you get into the UIL 5-day cycle rule where, okay, well, Monday we'll get it back. No, now you got to have 5 days in between. So now you got to go to a Saturday on short prep, and then it affects the following week on short. So you're not just affecting 1 week, you're affecting 3 weeks if you have to deal with that if it gets pushed to Monday.
Yeah, and you know, I heard somebody tweeted me whenever there was the situation with Allen and Coppell, for example, right? I think because these are two relatively well thought of teams in 6A, one of them obviously in Allen, very well thought of. Game gets canceled, right? I believe they kick off at halftime, and that's the last action after halftime. That's the last action of the game, and the coaches come together, Mike DeWitt and Terry Gamble come together and decide, okay, it was 21-0 Allen. I think everybody kind of knew which way the wind was blowing proverbially in that game. So they came together and they said, all right, this game will count. We'll just count it as a 21-0 Allen win, and we'll shake hands and move on. And somebody tweeted me after that, why didn't they just finish the game on Saturday? And it sounds, you know, from a 50,000 foot perspective, you look at it and you go, oh yeah, you know, I'd like to see the game selfishly. I'd like to see these two good teams play one another. I'd like to see Allen get a real test, you know, on the road against a good, you know, game Coppell team. But at the same time, as you mentioned, there are all those mitigating circumstances.
I could give you five or six reasons, and I bet you could right now. Five or six
right,
reasons.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the least of which is having to get everybody back to the stadium the next day. Like that's the most simple part of it. But this also has impact the next week and the next week and the next week. And I guarantee you just both those coaches just look at each other and go, all right, we're either going to decide not to count this game or to count this game, but the game's ending right now and we're not going to move on with it. So I trust me, fans, I am one of you. I totally understand. I want to see as much good high school football as can be brought to us, but there are a lot of circumstances in which it's just a lot more prudent to just kind of throw up the white flag and say, all right, it's just not going to happen this week.
Yeah. For example, here's reasons. Even if you discount in the case of Allen Coppell, having to get that 650-member band back for Allen to get them all marshaled together to get them back. Even if you said, no, never mind the fans, never even mind the spectators. They come if they want to come. We're just going to get the teams together and play. Okay?
Yeah.
Consider those two programs. How many kids are involved in recruiting visits? Think about that for a minute. People that have travel plans that are going, or maybe they don't even have a recruiting visit, but they plan to go to watch Baylor and Duke on Saturday, or down in Austin for Texas USC, or the TCU Ohio State game Saturday night at Jerry World. So people have plans. It is, after all, the weekend, you know. And so to say, we're gonna bring them all back together, I think it messes with a lot of folks' schedules that are impacted on things. I think a lot of that kind of goes into it, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, and I believe there was you bring up the visit situation. Mm-hmm. I believe that came up with I don't want to say the player by name in case I have it wrong, but I believe there was a player who had planned for a visit to Michigan or out of state school on a Saturday, and he's thinking, hey, great, I play on Friday. I'm going to go and I'm going to plan my official visit on Saturday, and I'm going to go up there and go to the big house and enjoy my visit. Well, the problem is that the game got moved to Saturday. It's like weather moved the game to Saturday. And so then he's faced with a situation like, okay, like I've scheduled all these things. I've got flights. I've got everything going on, or I have this non-district game. And so, yeah, that's one very small thing that you have to factor in, is that if you do have kids have lives outside of high school football, as much as we'd like to pretend that they don't, they do. And you know, there's family situations and things like that. So, again, I want as much football to go on in the state of Texas, but we should take that up with Rain. Is who we should take it up with. We shouldn't take it up with the coaches.
By the way, apropos of nothing, how in the world did I miss seeing you and Bright up in the press box at AT&T? I was there last night.
I was not in the press box. I was down.
Look at you!
Else.
Look at you! You were in high dollar seating, weren't you?
It's not what you know. It has never been what you know, because if it was what you know, then I would never get anywhere in life.
Well, now we know. Greg Tepper joining us here on the Horn High School Spot. Okay, over the weekend, biggest eye-opening result for you, regardless of classification.
The more I think about it, the more Mason's 28-0 win over Sonora just keeps coming back to me. Mm-hmm. That's a 2A over 3A. First of all, I think I read somewhere, I need to go back and read it, I think it was San Angelo Standard Times reported that Mason hasn't lost the Puncher Domes in something like 2011.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a fearsome place to walk into, not only being, in my opinion, the finest high school football stadium in America, but they are looking really good. And for all we talk, when we've harped on and on and on, and I'm sure folks are already sick of us talking about 2A Division I Region 4. But I am telling you that 1 week it's Shiner. And by the way, they put up a fantastic result against Burton in a game that had to get moved up a day. And they doubled them up, something like 62-31. But Mason, to have Sonora, and that is a high-flying Sonora attack, with a terrific new quarterback in Brian Van Winkle and a team that looks really, really good, to shut them down completely is really impressive. And so to me, the overarching theme from this week, after having a bit of a weekend to digest it, is that the teams that impressed me most were the teams that played defense. Highland Park's win over Frisco Lone Star, 10-7. That answered a lot of questions for me about Highland Park's defense. Galena Park North Shore's win over Spring Westfield, 35-3, and essentially 35-0. It was a garbage time field goal that essentially cost them the shutout. That impressed me. Mason's win over Sonora, that impressed me. And then, hey, one that probably flew under a lot of people's radars, Holiday beat the tar out of Windthorst. And you're probably thinking, well, what in the heck does that have to do with anything? Windthorst was only putting up like 600 yards a game, and they shut him out. And for me, that's a game. So for me, this was the weekend in which I looked at the defensive side and came away really impressed with a number of squads because of what they were able to prevent their opposition from doing, as opposed to maybe what they did themselves.
Well, and the inverse of that would be teams that struggled to play defense, like Gilmer, which is traditionally, for whatever reason, death taxes, and Gilmer has trouble stopping people early in the year to be a state-ranked team. They get beat by Paris because they give up 27 points to them. And how about Carthage getting pushed by Marshall? They allowed 32. Now they outslug them. They do what Carthage does. Okay, if you're going to score 32, we'll score 35 and get a win.
Yeah, there were a number of games like that, exactly, that kind of threw up a red flag. You know, you mentioned Gilmer, and suddenly that's a team that I've got big questions about because they're not slowing down anybody. They're really struggling to play a little bit of defense. John Tyler is kind of that same way to stay in East Texas. Now, they're playing a good Longview team, and there's no shame in losing to a 6A Longview team. But, you know, that's basically two out of three games where they've given up big offense, and that's definitely a concern. So for me, yeah, you're exactly right. There are a number of teams that if you're not playing defense right now, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit concerned about you because that's ultimately what's going to get you where you need to go. And I do think that right now you're seeing a number of teams kind of surging to the top because of defense. But, you know, you look at teams like Odessa Permian. I mean, now they played a very tough very tough non-district schedule, but they've given up a fair amount of points. Clear Springs is another team we had high expectations for. They've given up a lot of points. You know, Denton Guyer is a team that really can't stop giving up points, you know, even though they finally go on the scoreboard this week. But I'm telling you that there's a number of teams that – if you're not playing defense right now, I've kind of got a cock and eyebrow at you, especially when there are some weather situations where it should tamp down the scoring. You know, to bring it all full circle, some of these games should be low scoring. And so if you're giving up 40, 50 points a game, I'm a little bit concerned. Carthage is probably a different animal. I probably treat them a little bit differently just because they feel a lot like the team that can just kind of turn the switch and be like, okay, everything's we're going to be fine. But that is a little bit concerning to me.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask about two teams that lost over the weekend. Brock. Seems like every year. All right. Let's Chad Worrell's team's going to lose to a private school every year. They had that last year, and maybe more the fact that they didn't score a point. Here's the inverse of what we're talking about: the defense. They get shut out by Liberty Christian. Any cause for eyebrow raising on that?
A little bit. This is a good Argyle Liberty Christian team, but you're right. It's not necessarily the way that they lost. It's the style in which they lost. And by the way, that's 2 weeks in a row where the offense has really kind of scuffled. Remember the week before they beat Iowa Park, a fine Iowa Park team. I don't think they're anything special, but a fine Iowa Park team, 24-7. And you just kind of start going, okay. You know, we saw them in week one on football days in Texas football days, you know, throttling a good Brownwood team. And that's something, there's something to be said for that. But now, you know, two out of three, the offense has not really been there. And now they'll figure things out. I'm not necessarily worried about it. But by the way, they get a Breckenridge team this week. That's not a pushover. And then it's right into district play where they open with what is currently 3-0 Pilot Point. So it's not going to get a whole lot easier here. And if they have significant offensive issues, then things are that's going to get exposed pretty quickly.
The other is, and maybe I figured out the problem for West Orange Stark. They're 1-2. Here they going into the weekend that they were the 8th ranked team in 4A. I doubt they'll be in the poll this week since they're now 1-2. But they're 1-2. They lost to Nederland, 5A school, the first week. Mm-hmm. They lost to Newton, the number one team in the state, in 3A on Friday. Their problem is they need to just play 4A teams. You know, they're a 4A team. No 5As, no 3As. Just play 4As and you'll be okay, Mustangs. And maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, by the way, you know who they play this week? They're on the road at Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
A darn good 5A.
A real good 5A.
Yeah. So, but I will say I am officially concerned about the West Orange Stark offense. We thought that there was going to be a bit of a case of that, you know, but basically this offense has been more or less held down in check the entire season, you know, with the exception of their one big win over a team that they were pretty much overmatched. But basically, every good team that they've played, they've really had trouble moving the ball. We thought this was going to be an issue. They are even when they lost Jack Dallas after the 2016 season, there was kind of this notion that Shaka Watson was going to step in and everything was going to be fine. Well, now after they didn't really have that same situation this year where there's the guy who's going to step in. They're trying to figure things out. Right now, I don't think it's going particularly well. Chain gang defense still doing okay. To hold Newton to 21 points is impressive. I mean, I think Newton, if you're talking about teams that impressed me over the weekend, I think Newton is probably the pound-for-pound best team in the state right now. I don't really think, you know, the only other argument would be in the six-man level, probably Strawn at the 1A Division II level. But I think that right now it's probably Newton. But there is, to me, there's a red flag in West Orange Stark that if that offense doesn't find some sort of playmaker and some sort of trigger man to kind of push this thing over the top, then they're going to be, it's a big concern. And suddenly 4A Division II becomes even more wide open.
You like to throw games at me and say, okay, you know, if you could only pick out one. So I'm just going to, is there one that really just leaps off the page at you for this week?
There's a couple. Manville and Fort Ben Marshall is tasty in so many different ways. To me, yes, first and foremost, two great teams, two teams that I think very highly of. I think they're going to be great. There's that. Just put the mental side of it in perspective. There has been no team personally victimized by Manville more than Fort Bend Marshall. This is the team that they've had state championship caliber teams, or at least state finalist caliber teams, and every single year it seems like it's Marshall or it's Manville that gets in their way, and this is the hurdle. Well, here you go. You've got a Manville team that I think is not as good as they were in past years. And Marshall, every people in Houston will not shut up about Marshall, Fort Bend Marshall, about how good this team is. And I think that they are the real deal. Well, now they get to go on the road to Alvin to play Manville and kind of prove that they are the real deal. So I'm excited about that one. Civil of Steel and Converse Judson springs to mind. I mean, that's a classic battle in San Antonio between, you know, two of at least what have been over the last decade the best teams in San Antonio. And then there's one other game that Carthage and Gilmer has kind of lost a little bit of its luster. But I will say I am very excited about Giddings and Cameron Yeo. I am very excited. I think that Giddings, they really made that statement 2 weeks ago basically the first 2 weeks they made huge statements, including their big win over Wimberley. But now they get a Cameron Yeo team that looks like the Cameron Yeo of old. They're rounding into form. They're back into the Dave Campbell's Texas football rankings. And I'm very excited to see, you know, this is one of those things that is it just another feather in the cap and getting kind of keeps rolling on as this team's keep an eye on, or you want to talk about an opportunity for Cameron Yeo to hop right back on the statewide radar. Well, here's your chance. If you can knock off what has been one of the hottest teams in the state, things get really, really interesting. So those are two of the games that I'm really interested in. And by the way, Midlothian Heritage in Stephenville is pretty good. So
yeah.
For, you know, week four is going to be when you're going to see a lot of buys, especially in the 6A ranks. You're going to start to see those buys, and it might be a little bit of a thinner schedule, but at the very, very top, there are some really, really, really good matchups.
Yeah, it's true. In fact, some of the ones you mentioned there would involve head-to-head state-ranked matchups there. One, neither team is state-ranked, but I think it's pretty good, and it's 6A. Yeah, here's Vandegrift coming off, going overtime to beat Cedar Ridge. Oh, and now it's Hendrickson this week.
Yeah, you know, Hendrickson's got this really bold strategy of just beating the tar out of people, and it's like I'm interested to see how this plays out. It's a bold strategy. We'll see if they can keep doing it against the Vandegrift team. But yeah, that's two teams that are white hot right now and on a collision course. And one other game I'll throw out there is keep an eye on Corpus Christi for Flower Bluff and Veterans Memorial. These are probably, depending on what you think of Cal Allen, but they wouldn't face Cal Allen because these are two Division I teams in 5A as opposed to Division II. Flower Bluff and Vets are probably the two best teams in Corpus Christi. They're definitely, in my opinion, the two best teams in their district, and I also think that they are the two best teams in Region 4. So if you want what could be a preview of as far as a state quarterfinal, you're going to have one in Corpus Christi this weekend.
Yeah, and Flower Bluff already has a win over Cal Allen anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're into the transitive property, then this is for the crown. This is for the crown in Corpus Christi. And I know that folks down there in the Coastal Bend are really fired up about this one.
He's Greg Temper. You can catch his fine work at texasfootball.com. And I appreciate you joining us. Look forward to seeing you on Friday night.
Sounds like a plan, Craig.
All right. That's Greg Tepper, managing editor to Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, our look at the statewide returns from the weekend. Up next, we bring you the Whataburger Top 5, the top 5 performances of the weekend from teams here in the greater Austin, Central Texas area, here on the Horn High School Spotlight on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and hornfm.com.
Hit me!
Welcome back to the Horn High School Spotlight, presented by the Gene Arant team at Keller Williams Realty. The Gene Arant team, changing lives through real estate.
Our thanks again to Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, joins us every Monday to recap the weekend across the entire state of Texas in high school football, the headline grabbers and the notes that you might have missed. He's good that way. Of course, the rest of the week is when we bring you we'll have some other journalistic types and things like that. But, of course, we get into our coach interviews tomorrow. Hank Carter, head coach of the Lake Travis Cavaliers, joins us for our weekly Tuesday conversation tomorrow. On Wednesday, Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, joins us in studio, so we'll visit with him. We'll talk to Todd not only about Westlake's win over Aikens, but Todd went up to South Lake Carroll for the South Lake Carroll-Odessa Permian game on Friday night to see how Riley would do as head coach against Permian. Riley Dodge is 1-0 against Permian, and he's 3-0 as a high school football head coach, and he has the number 8 team in the state right now, the Carroll Dragons.
Just runs in the family.
Huh? Yeah, he's the learned at the elbow of dad, you know. But he Riley, by the way, to his credit, will tell you he's had several, as he said, really good mentors. Among those, Mac Brown. He said several that when he was being grad assistant, listed Charlie Strong, several others that he's done had in high school assistant coach as well as grad assistant at the collegiate level. So he's learned quite a bit from that. So Todd will be in studio with us on Wednesday. Thursday, Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, as Greg Tepper just mentioned, white hot that team just in time to get another white-hot team, Hendrickson, this week. So we'll get the preview of that and a look back at their overtime win over Cedar Ridge. That's on Thursday. And Friday, when Kip McConico is in here with Steve Foster, they visit with Jeff Abels, the head coach of the Bowie Bulldogs. So Bowie's got to bounce back, get ready for Del Valle this week, coming off the loss to Lake Travis. So there'll be coach interviews throughout the week. Roger Wallace will also join us on Thursday, talk about KVBO's big game of the week as well. So we do all of those sorts of things. But right now, it's time for our Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 performances of the weekend.
Now, what we have is a mixture of performances, a blend of teams that were, I don't know, as the old saying goes, quote-unquote, supposed to win, and took care of their business, and teams that reached some important thresholds, you know, be they thresholds in terms of just getting a win to get their season going and getting off the schneid and getting some momentum going, or, you know, a threshold win in terms of district play, or, in the case of one school, a watershed win. So, here are the Whataburger Top 5 performances of the weekend. Number 5 is a tie between two favored teams that were facing district openers from improved and good teams and yet passed the test with dominating performances, the Hendrickson Hawks and the Lake Travis Cavaliers. And you said, well, they were supposed to win. True. And the computer rankings had them favored to win. You know, the computer thing that we get sometimes, I look at some of those numbers and I'd say, really? Really? For example, the computer suggested that Hendrickson would beat an unbeaten Westwood team by 37 points. And I was like, really? Yeah, Hendrickson didn't beat him by 37. They beat him by 50 in the game. And Lake Travis was a considerable favorite as well and won, as well, according to the computer. These aren't wagering lines or anything like it. It's what the computer readout says. Hendrickson was coming off that storm-canceled contest against Smithson Valley, but no rust issues for the Hawks. They dismantled a solid, improved, and previously unbeaten Westwood team. They beat the Warriors at the Palace 64-14. Hendrickson scored on its first 8 possessions of the game. Every program at any level of football should be happy to have that. You got 8 possessions. You're going to score in your first 8. That's pretty good. Meanwhile, second-ranked Lake Travis took out a previously unbeaten team in a district opener as well. The Cavaliers raced to a 42-7 halftime lead on Bowie. They cruised in there for a 42-21 win. Number 4 was Connolly's 26-16 win over Bastrop at the field in Pflugerville on Friday night. The key play, Diamante Francois' 89-yard punt return that carried the Cougars to their first win of the season. So they were 0-2. Bastrop was 2-0. And, you know, that catches our attention sometimes. An 0-2 beats a 2-0. It's, well, how good was the 2-0? How not good was the 0-2? Perfect example of that. Cedar Park was 0-2 going into the game with 2-0. San Angelo Central and Cedar Park won, and they kind of dominated this game, that game. This contest, I think folks felt Connolly was better than what they'd shown early on, and maybe the jury was out a little bit on Bastrop, but you know, everybody's feeling pretty good about what Todd Patman's ball club had done in the first couple of weeks. Well, Connolly got the win, 26-16, and they hand Bastrop their first loss of the season. Number 3 was LBJ's 20-17 win over La Vega. You've heard us talk about La Vega on this program before. It's in the little community of Bellmead on the northeastern edge of Waco. They won a state championship 3 years ago. They're in the state playoffs year in, year out, deep runs in the playoffs year in, year out. Their legendary longtime head coach Willie Williams retired after last year, and their defensive coordinator Don Hyde took over. But now La Vega's back-to-back losses. This was a classic example of the old Mack Brown line about letting one loss beat you twice, because they left their guts on the field the week prior at the number 2 team in the state, Argyle, in their classification in 4A Division 1. They had them down, and Argyle scored a touchdown in the waning seconds to win 31-29. So that was a hard thing to get over, and they didn't get over it. And credit Jamal Fenner's ball club at LBJ. The Jaguars secured the win with a tackle to stop the Pirates inches shy of a first and goal at the LBJ 6-yard line with a minute remaining. Number 2 is the first ever varsity UIL for honors. This one actually counts. Football victory for the Glen Grizzlies, the newest Leander ISD school. In its first true varsity season, won a thriller on Thursday night over McCallum. They beat the Knights 30-26. So, with last week's first ever win for Maynard New Tech, and now the brand new Tom Glenn Grizzlies picking up their first ever varsity victory, the new Pflugerville school, the Weiss Wolves, are on the clock to pick up win number 1 in their program history. And they'll have an open date on the schedule this week before they open district play next week. And the number 1 performance of the weekend in our Whataburger top 5 performances of the weekend shouldn't surprise you, the Vandegrift Vipers. Because it was definitely a district showdown. And it's weird to say that in week number 1 of district play. It's a district showdown. It's a district showdown. Only the third week of the season. They've only played 2 weeks of non-district play. They have a 9-team district, so they have to jump into it. And they're jumping into it, diving into that deal headfirst with Cedar Ridge. And they were down to Cedar Ridge. And they came back and they caught Cedar Ridge and went overtime. And it was wet and it's rainy and messy and all that kind of stuff. And they had a stop, and they got a game-winning field goal from Tim Barney, and it snapped a 15-game district win streak for Cedar Ridge. So Vandegrift got to celebrate a huge district opening win. Now they get ready for showdown number 2 this week at Hendrickson, a game that could, for all intents and purposes, decide the 13-6A title in week number 4 of the season. So there it is, your Whataburger top 5 performances of the weekend. Of course, tomorrow on the program, we'll have the top 5, the double meat with cheese edition, as we call it, because it's the top 10, the brand new UIL top 10 state rankings. And those will be out later today. Those will come out. By the way, a thing that just came down, in case you didn't hear about it, as we shift you mentally back toward college football, they did announce the kickoff time for the Texas-Kansas State game on the 29th in Manhattan, 2:30 p.m. kickoff that day. 2:30 p.m. will be that kickoff in the Little Apple Texas against Kansas State. Our thanks to Greg Tepper from Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine for joining us. Thanks as well to BK hanging out there to produce it. And join BK and Trey now for the midday. Coming up next, we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Horn High School Spotlight.